Hello, I'm Andrew Tucker, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Today, we seek shelter from the Brazilian sun in the shade of a quirky telephone box, the design of which has made its way all across the continent since its introduction in the 1970s. But why is this seemingly old-fashioned form of communication still popular along the beaches of Ipanema and Copacabana? Well, our Latin America affairs correspondent, Lucinda Elliott, tells us more.
The last time I used a public telephone was along Ipanema Beach. Sandy fingers and pickpockets mean clutching a smartphone while admiring Rio's picture postcard seafront is fairly ill-advised. If you can leave the latest iPhone at home, some do. I had needed a taxi, purchased a call card, dialed a cab number, and off I eventually went. Payphones worldwide have become almost quaint, gimmicky landmarks since the arrival of portable mobile technology. Many have been reinvented as miniature libraries for book borrowing, charity donations, or hijacked by tourists as a photo op. London's bright red boxes come to mind. They're used for pretty much anything, except phone calls. But in Brazil, the big ear public telephones that were designed in Rio in the early 1970s are still used and maintained across far corners of the country. The Orelhão, translated as the big ear public telephone, was first introduced by Chinese-Brazilian architect Chu Ming. The idea was to protect callers from the sunshine while being open at street level. Previously, most public telephones were only found inside commercial establishments in Brazil. My grandmother, who spent much of her life in South America, always fondly remembers when one of the first phones was installed inside her residential building. The simple, curved, egg-shaped design was soon rolled out nationwide and was instrumental in helping to map the country's telecoms network, later travelling across South America to Peru, Paraguay, and Colombia. Similar models have been replicated in the former Portuguese colonies of Angola and Mozambique, where the open-air cabins were deemed practical in similar tropical climes. Still today, one of the biggest telecom companies maintains them. Numbers of booths have notably declined. 7 in 10 have been cut off in recent years. Brazilians are one of the biggest users of smartphones and social media globally. But that hasn't made them entirely redundant at a practical level. The most popular phone boxes are outside Brás and Barra Funda stations in São Paulo. Mobile phone contracts are expensive for the average income, and signal can be precarious in many regions of the continental-sized country. During the COVID outbreak, some callers in Brazil have been unable to afford monthly internet tariffs or top up their phone credit. Corner shops have reportedly been using them more frequently, as the line is cheap and secure. The booths have also become icons, part of the urban Made in Brazil landscape that brings about a sense of pride, as much as the Havaiana flip-flop sandal or Oscar Niemeyer's curved monuments to modernism. Those no longer in use have been transformed into chairs and pieces of furniture. So what do we know about the person who dreamt up the design? And what does the longevity of the telephone say about today's Brazil? Chu Ming was born in Shanghai in 1941. Her family fled China after the communist victory and set sail to Brazil from Hong Kong. They arrived in 1951, in the middle of carnival celebrations, she once described. On graduating as an architect, Chu took on a challenge set by a major phone company to find a functional and beautiful booth. At the time, the country was half the size it is now. Roughly 100 million people, half living in bustling cities that were growing at a pace with metro stations, highways, and high-rise apartments. In many places, hearing and being heard in a public phone booth was a real challenge. Her acoustic-friendly design adapted perfectly at street level. Affectionate nicknames like Tulip, Spacewalker Helmet, and finally, Aurelion were quick to catch on. And as the design approaches its 50th birthday, it seems to have firmly consolidated its status as a Brazilian icon.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And thanks to Lucinda Elliott for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck, goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.